Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Well, folks, it's that depressing time of the year, and I only say that because, look, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. It was great. The Rams won the game, but it's the offseason now. But with the offseason comes a few things. One, hypothetical what-ifs that I love to hate, but I hate to love come into play. Two, draft talk. Everyone loves draft talk. Three, free agency talk. And four, just general nonsense about what you think your team is going to do for the next season. And who better to talk that with than YWC Talk Original, Big Rat 310. It is him, the kid. We're in the building. You know what it is. How are we feeling? How do we think of the game on Sunday night?
It was good. You know, like it wasn't, we don't have to come up with declarative statements like it was one of the best Super Bowls or one of the worst or anything. It was a good Super Bowl, good, clean Super Bowl. And we don't get that every year. So, you know, I was happy with it.
Exactly. It was a good Super Bowl, really good halftime show. Yeah. Ending little suspect. I'm going to put the banner up right now because obviously that's what we're here to talk about. This is Super Bowl. But I just hated how – I only say bad ending because I hated how so many times throughout so many games that I watched this season, you'd see the refs, you know, last 2 minutes, you let them play. But then in the biggest game of the year, Ronald Torbert's crew decides just to say, you know what, fuck it, and just start throwing the flags.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I believe Ron Tolbert's the guy who took back Robert Hunt's touchdown against the Ravens on Thursday.
Yes, I believe it was.
I believe he was. So he threw a flag then, but he didn't throw it for most of this Super Bowl. That was annoying. So it was frustrating. I'm sure if you're a Bengals fan, it's upsetting. Like, I don't think that was holding on Logan Wilson. And that gave the Rams – I mean, I think the Rams – I mean, we know the Rams would have gone for it. I mean, at least I think they would have. They could have gotten very conservative and kicked the field goal there on fourth and goal and tried to get a stop. But I don't know. I think the right thing to do there would have been to go for it on fourth down and then hope you get a punt. So there would have been another down in the game, but certainly third and goal, you get a stop. You feel like you're very close to maybe winning the Super Bowl, and then you see the flag come up on a very iffy call. And to your point, when a player thinks the whole game, and I was saying this during the Super Bowl to my friends because they weren't calling anything. I was saying, yeah, you should have more chances. You should hold more often, be more aggressive because that's the kind of game you're in. You're going to get away with it more often. And unfortunately, then they kind of reverse back on that course late in the game. But as we know, in my opinion at least, the Ramsey touchdown of T. Higgins was a horrible call. Like, I don't think you let that go even in the Super Bowl. Like, I think it was that clear. And I think as a result, the Bengals getting fucked at the end there with the Logan Wilson holding on third and goal, I think was kind of a make good in a way. And it was a lot of flags, to be fair to Bengals fans. It was a lot of flags in a very short period of time. So I can see how that's kind of frustrating and maybe outweighs. But I thought overall, you know, all things considered, I don't think the refs were like the story, even though certainly it's probably annoying that they made their emphasis known in the red zone late in the game.
Yeah, that's my big thing too. Like, look, I that's all I'm saying. Like, I would have liked if they put the flags away, but I kind of get it where sometimes, yeah, you have to do the makeup calls. I know you're not too familiar with the NHL, but there was a ref on Mike last year, Hot Mike, who basically admitted to it. Hey, look, one team got a penalty, so I got to make it up and give another team a penalty. Yeah. Wow. He was going to retire anyway, but he was kind of like forced into an early retirement because of it. So I do get that. But no, all in all, like, there was no complaints about this game. It wasn't a boring Super Bowl. Lower scoring than I thought. But for the most part, like, look, it was a good, clean game of football. Nothing crazy happened. Unfortunately, OBJ has a torn ACL. But besides that, look, I said this going into the game. I was happy for whoever was going to win it. And I'm happy that Matt Stafford got his first.
Yeah, I'm happy, and I'm happy for a lot of guys on that. I normally root for the underdog, like most fans probably do, yeah. But this was a rare exception where, I mean, I would have been happy either way, but the Rams, the cool part about this favorite winning is that the Rams have a lot of guys who, like, you know, are near the end of their careers and deserve the ring. Like, it was Andrew Whitworth's last chance. It was Eric Weddle's last chance. We don't know if maybe now things changed with the torn ACL, but we didn't know if OBJ was going to even be back on the Rams. So it might have been his last chance, you know? even guys like Aaron, and obviously we heard during the game that Aaron Donald was considering retirement if they won, but even before you knew that, how many more chances at the Super Bowl was Aaron Donald going to get? How many more chances was Matt Stafford going to get? I understand Stafford's only 34, but as we talked about ad nauseum, it's hard to get back. You know, Dan Marino, this is to Joe Burrow, to unfortunately for Joe Burrow, like everyone's saying, oh, Burrow's got time, he'll be back. Everyone knows that's what they said about Marino. It was Marino's second season. They made the Super Bowl, and everyone said the same thing. He's only 23 years old. Like, he's got his whole career ahead of him. He'll probably be back. Never came back. So because the Bengals are such a young team, whereas the Rams had a lot of guys who you felt like could be in the Hall of Fame and really did deserve a ring, and it was really nice to see, like, five of those guys get a ring, you know. So that was pretty cool.
And also, do I want to bring this up? Because there's a guy involved in Patriots Twitter. His name's McGarvin, and it just has L next to his name. And he says, the idea that, in Breton quotes, they'll be back is nothing more than a coping mechanism. Chances are they won't be back for a hot minute. It's that rare. So, and there's also some other stuff, too, about the Patriots twist I can put on that, but I'll do that later. But out of any sport, I feel like the NFL, you can always say it, oh, they'll be back. I feel like Kansas City, too, they said that last year where it's like, oh, hey, they'll be back in the Super Bowl. Look, they obviously lost the AFC Championship game. There's just so many of these teams where it's like, oh, look, they'll be back. Even, too, I now know it's been official since you were last on, but Tom Brady's retirement, how, look, you were right once again where you always said this. You were like, whenever Brady has a team that's hot, you expect him to be in the championship game, he's not there. That's what happened this year. And even still going back to all his Patriots days, too, with all his Patriots teams, where it's like, hey, yeah, oh, he's going to be there. No, he doesn't get there, or he didn't get it in the case of 2018. But, no, I completely agree with that tweet. The only Patriots twist I'm going to put on it is – I think you have to really respect Joe Tooney's game in Super Bowl 53, considering Aaron Donald was pretty much neutralized the entire time. And considering Sunday, when it came time to turn on the Jets, he turned on the Jets. I'm happy for him and Andrew Whitworth. I don't also know if you saw this, but his PFF grades came through today. I'm just going to pull up my phone again because his grades were incredible in this game.
Yeah, I believe PFF said Donald had the most pressures by a defensive lineman that they've recorded since 2006 in a Super Bowl. And, like, even though I think he only had – I don't know if he had two sacks or three, but he had, like, eight near sacks. And if you were just watching the game, like, he was – even before that last play, he was just constantly penetrating the pocket. And him and – man, when they run those stunts where Aaron Donald cuts to the outside and Von Miller goes in on the inside, like, that's just a fucking nightmare to deal with. Like – It's no wonder their pass rush was so good throughout the playoffs.
Leonard Floyd, too, had a great game. He managed to get the quarterback. But with Andrew Whitworth, this is from Doug Kyed, former Patriots writer, current PFF reporter. Rams left tackle and Walter Payton man of the year, Andrew Whitworth, in the game. He had an 83.3 grade from PFF. Zero sacks, zero hits, zero hurries.
In the last game of his career. Can you imagine?
That's like, I know he's had one of the more quieter careers, but he's a guy that, like, when you look at it, he will be in Canton one day.
Yeah, I think. And this could be the difference for Weddle, too. Like, younger listeners may not remember, but Eric Weddle was in the league since 2007. Like, he was on those Philip Rivers Chargers teams that were making playoff runs. And he was, for a long time, viewed as, like, the best safety in football. And this little run where he was playing a lot and making plays, there's a video on the internet of him making a tackle with one hand because he tore his pec during the game. Like, I think, and he, and like Kyle Shanahan credited him for blowing up one drive in the Niners game. That drive where they punted on fourth and one, he blamed it on Weddle breaking up a play on second and one that forced them into the third and one juice check thing that got stuffed. And then fourth and one, they punted with the lead. And so Weddle, like, this could be the difference for him, too. It really could.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, too, is he's already going to be in the Hall of Fame, but I feel like this is just another notch in Aaron Donald's belt. Obviously, he's got all the Player of the Year awards. He's, like, accomplished. I'm not saying, oh, he wasn't going to be a Hall of Famer without a Super Bowl. It's just, like, you know, like, that extra accolade. My only concern right now is, and I've been seeing this a lot, where does this leave Matt Stafford?
Yeah, so I think, look, I'm not a Hall of Fame prude. Like, if, you know, like, I understand wanting to give more people that accolade. But I do kind of sympathize with Richard Sherman a little bit. And as a Dolphin fan, my precious Zach Thomas, the first Dolphin player I ever really grew up to love, been first team All-Pro five times first team All-Pro, and he still can't get in. And Matthew Stafford with zero first team All-Pros, with one Pro Bowl, less Pro Bowls than Andy Dalton. He gets to get in because he won a Super Bowl. And obviously Stafford's better than Dalton, but I just think It's tough. I think there's a lot of guys ahead of him. I'm fine with him being considered under two conditions. One, he has to keep doing what he did this year for a few more years. I don't think 1 year of that is enough. And two, and he doesn't have to win the Super Bowl every year, but he has to like be in the mix, be in contention.
Relatively competitive.
Yes, yes. And playing well, not throwing as many picks. And but my thing is, he should not go in before Phillip Rivers. And in my opinion, I don't think he should go in before Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan made a Super Bowl as well. He played better in the Super Bowl, even though he lost. Than Stafford.
Won an MVP, too.
Won an MVP, was won a first-team All-Pro that year. He won MVP. I think him and Stafford were similar throughout their careers. But in my opinion, Ryan was always a little bit better. And Ryan has the MVP. He has more Pro Bowls. And he made the Super Bowl as well. I think it's unfair that Stafford gets in and Ryan doesn't, just because Stafford won the game and Ryan lost it, despite Ryan being a little bit better than him for the majority of his career. So as long as Ryan and Phillip Rivers get in first, then we can talk, we can discuss it if Stafford continues forward. But I'm not going to be happy with him getting in over those guys.
Exactly. And as always on YWC Talk, there's always surprises. There's always something to expect. And what's to expect? But our third guest of the evening now joining us.
Hey!
I didn't see that link until like about 5 minutes ago.
It's all good. It's all good. I like to record on here now just because I get to do more features. Like you see the little screen behind you with the logo and everything and stuff.
Excuse the wild mess behind y'all. Right? Excuse all this shit.
Oh, believe me, I had to clean up. I cleaned up my entire bed before because I didn't want it to be in a mess either. Folks,
all right, so what are we talking about? What I mean?
We're just so we just wrapped up the game a little bit, but we were talking about right now. What do you think Matt Stafford worthy of being a Hall of Famer at the current moment?
I mean, in my personal Hall of Fame, no. But he'll probably get in. Like, you got to look at like his accomplishments. I think it would keep him of the Hall. Like the numbers are all there because he played in a system where he threw a bunch of passes. He was never bad. He was always, you know, solid at most. He had the yard, the counting stats are all there. But if you look at level of greatness, like the way we looked at Stafford, it's very revisionist to put him in the Hall of Fame, just in my opinion. But, you know, still, like all the, if he gets in, I'll be happy for him, but like he wouldn't be in mine, though. Not at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I just wanted to ask that because, like, we were saying too, how we think like Andrew Whitworth is going to get in. Aaron Donald definitely. It was just like another notch on his belt. Eric Weddle. Yeah,
Aaron Donald. First ballot, easy.
100% first ballot. Imagine if he retires this year, though. Imagine if he retires this year. You're going to have Ben, Brady, Donald.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, my bad. I said the pad.
But I was saying, like, other than Donald, what you got in terms of just defensive players, like, Lawrence Taylor's ahead of him. I would say, like, Reggie White's ahead of him.
Yeah.
I would order. I'd probably put like Deion ahead of him, Ed Reed ahead of him. And then after that, like, who can you definitively say is like better than him? You know what I mean? So, yeah, first ballot is it. Easy.
I'd put him ahead of Ray Lewis. I know they play very different positions, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in terms of, because there was a point in time where Ray was just like, he's just solid. Like the last like 3-4 years, he's just solid. Donald's came in as a rookie and been the best defensive player in the league every year.
Yeah.
My other thing, too, with it, and I love the Ed Reed mention, and I know this is just not going to home rush on my part, but you know Ed Reed is good when Bill Belichick explicitly schemed around him.
Like, his, a lot of people, like, what I did this with my girlfriend, her son's uncle, whatever that would make him. We were talking about like different like Hall of Famers and stuff like that. And he was like, I was like, Ed Reed, easy Hall of Famer. He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, man, let's look at his numbers. Like, do y'all realize like his points like against differential from him being on the field to him not being on the field? It's like 10 more points. That's crazy. Fuck that guy, but that's
Hey now. Yeah. Don't disrespect. He tortured his Hokies, precious Hokies for 4 years, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then with MVP, I was saying after the touchdown basically won the game that it did belong to Kupp. I think if Stafford had not thrown those two picks, I think it could have been him. But I think just the pick set aside. And I know Aaron Donald made the plays and stuff.
I was a little upset he didn't win.
Who Donald?
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I was like, yo, from the third quarter on, he was the best player on the field by a lot. Well, like, he sealed the game too.
Apparently, from I don't know how confirmed this is, but they say I don't buy they voted before the 2 minute thing, because if that was true, I don't know if they would have voted for Cup in the first place. But it's very possible that votes were done before Donald made that last play, which might have
Now the Cooper Cup though is their most valuable player. He has been all year.
If you saw, on that drive, that drive, it wasn't just that he was first down that drive. He had the fourth down conversion, which was a rush. It wasn't even a pass from Stafford. And he was drawing all those flags. I can't remember a drive so concentrated around one player. Like you didn't see Cup, and then you throw targets to Akers and targets to Henderson and targets to like, it was him.
It was just him the whole time.
Exactly. That's why I say.
And then with Odell going down, never mind. It was Cup. Now I think about it, because Odell went down, and you knew who the target was the whole game.
Odell could have stolen it if he didn't get hurt. Unfortunately,
that was not a fine hour for Jalen Ramsey. Was bailed out by everyone because that's his worst game, maybe that I've ever seen this dude play. And this goes back to college. To like, he got on the biggest stage imaginable and laid the biggest egg I've ever seen. Like, I was like, bro, you're getting killed. You're getting killed out here, brother.
And he apparently got roasted on the very last play, too. But Burrow got sacked by Donald. He couldn't throw it to Jason. Burnt him deep.
Yeah, like, even though there was the penalty, we were talking about this earlier, Markeem, but there was that one penalty that you could have called against Higgins. Like, even still that play, that's the thing with Ramsey. He can make these incredible defensive plays, but like the Mike Evans one against Tampa and then the T. Higgins one, when he's beat, he just stops trying. He doesn't even try to run the guy down.
Yeah, it's over. It's a wrap. Yeah. Yeah, he'll stop. He's always been that way.
Yeah, exactly. And then the only thing, too, to add on to the Bengals, like we were saying earlier, it is hard to get back, but I still think this is going to be a team that I don't want to say force, but they can. I think they'll still be competitive as long as they address their needs. Mainly, look, there's definitely a question mark in the defensive backfield, but you got to beef up the offensive line. What better draft to do it than this year's?
Yes, and I agree with you, but I also disagree.
Oh.
I agree because they have been bad more than they've been good, but they've shown they can be good. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, while I agree, they've played well at times.
One sack.
Often. Yeah, like, it's I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's personnel or coaching. I don't know.
I feel like their good's really good, but their bad's really bad.
Yeah, like, there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, they're young, too. Like, they, with the exception of Riley Reiff, a lot of those guys are, like, rookies or second-year players. Maybe it's the kind of thing where they get better organically. And not. I could be wrong. Markeem would know better than me because I don't quite remember this from Burrow in college, but the way he at least the way he plays in the NFL, kind of like Russell Wilson, it seems like he maybe is the type that's gonna be like a highly sacked quarterback for most of his career, like always looking for the
There were stretches where he was getting hit a lot, like he'd take a lot of sacks because the weapons around him.
Yeah,
but like he got hit a lot. There were times where he was getting beat up. Yeah.
I feel like, too, it's either he's getting the ball quickly or he's getting his ass put on the ground.
Because he's going for the, like, a shot.
Just the snap.
Look, man, I love Joe Burrow, but I'm still not ready to crown him. I'm just not. Yeah. Like, I'm just not ready to do that. I'm not. I feel like you. Remember how you felt about Josh Allen, kid? I was like, man, I just need to see it more. And I saw it in college. I saw it this year, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I think, and I also think, and that was one of my satisfactions of the Super Bowl. I think after the AFC title game, even though it was clear to me, you, and everyone, the AFC title game and the Titans game, they were winning mainly because of their defense. Their defense destroyed my boy Tannehill, and they shut down Mahomes like we've never seen Mahomes be shut down for an entire half. And I was talking to Danny after the title game, and I was like, I'm frustrated the defense isn't getting more credit. And he told me, well, look, once we get closer to the game, I think they'll start getting the recognition they deserve. But even still, closer to the game, it was all about.
I still don't think it happened.
And it was very, Brady-esque. And not in the sense that he didn't play well, because he did. It's just that he wasn't really the story of that run, yet he got all the oxygen and all the attention for an offense that was scoring like 20 points every game in the playoffs while their defense.
Yeah, like he's been fine this whole run. He's been fine. Yeah. Like it's been fine. I think he will be great. I do think that, but I still need to see it a little more.
I agree with that. It's like I feel like his season now is kind of like how a lot of people were viewing, you know, Justin Herbert, where it's like after 2020, where it's like, okay, you did this. Now we want to see you do this and then some more, you know?
Yeah. I just need to see him continuously improve before I'm willing to go, yeah, he's one of the next great ones.
The Ravens had a lot of problems. Maybe it's fair to say the Bengals were still a better team, but the Ravens had all these injuries. They were still first in that division before Lamar got hurt, and then they lost five straight games. And now next year, Lamar's back. The running backs are back. All their cornerbacks that tore their ACLs are back. Like, Bengals have to get out of their own division.
Who says they even make the playoffs? That's a good point.
Exactly. My only thing is to – I think they can just because we don't know what exactly the Browns and the Steelers are going to be. But, look, I know next season's far, long, long ways away. But there are some Super Bowl odds that are already out that are kind of sneaky good. Some I agree with, some that I don't. But the one that I like, and it's the team that Bagrat mentioned, is Baltimore at plus 2,000 right now to win.
Yeah. If healthy, yeah. If healthy. Yeah.
It's a big question mark, but still, they lost, what was it, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, Derek Wolf, L.J. Fort.
Both their safeties, yeah, they got destroyed.
Yeah, I tell you who I'm not hot on at all. Like, can we just be honest about the Browns now? Can we just do it now? Well, they're still the Browns. Can we do it?
Especially if they don't, it looks like they're not going to pursue. They're not going to be in the market for one of those top quarterbacks that are available. And if that's the case, then it's just there's not a whole lot to get excited about there.
I'm always like, we need to cut guys slack if they're hurt. I've always been that guy. Kid knows that. I've always been that guy. But Baker Mayfield is not good. Can we finally get to the point where we just say this guy's not good?
I want it on the record. Me and Markeem were doing a YouTube take back in 2017 when Baker was winning the Heisman, and Markeem was saying a lot of the shit back then that no one was saying.
Now everyone is saying now, you know what I mean? Like, bro, he's not good. Do I want him in my locker room? Yeah. But do I want him as my starting QB? I mean, not if I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. No. I've always said that. He's just not that good. He's not the guy that everyone wants him to be.
No.
No.
And then that offense in general is kind of overrated.
I think the team is just like, look, they've got a good defense. I think it's just it's like the same thing too with Cincinnati. If their offense is hot, they're hot. If they're cold, they're cold. Like we saw them like this past season, perfect example. They killed the Bengals, I think like 41-6, but then the next week they got their asses kicked by the Patriots 45-7 after going up 7-0, just 45 unanswered points by New England. The only other odds I see on here that I'm not
high. We're not exactly talking about the 99 Rams offense. Yeah, I mean,
no.
I'm just saying the team's overrated.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Griff.
I think there was just too much added. Like, there's just, I think that how far they went in the playoffs last year, I think really kind of fucked with their expectations a little bit, you know,
they overestimated how good they were. Yeah.
Like, they were a crazy Chad Henne run away from probably going to the AFC Championship game last year, too. The only other
odds. A lot of things went right for them. That's why I've been saying for the longest, like, there's a lot of luck that goes in championships, man. Like, it's the luck of the draw. It's the matchups. It's the style. It's who's hotter coming into this game, especially when the NFL is single elimination.
Yeah, I mean,
just that simple.
Bill Simmons from ESPN today was saying, is it fair to say the Bills were the best team in the AFC all along? And they didn't even make the conference title game. That's how unlucky they were. Like, it's
they were the most consistently good team, but they just didn't win.
Yep. The only thing we can say about odds in here, two that I do not like are the 49ers at plus 1,200 and the Packers at plus 1,300, just because we don't know exactly what the QB situations are going to be. And for some reason, the Broncos have higher odds than the Cardinals, Patriots, and Colts, which, look, I know one of those we don't agree with, but unless the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers, I'm not buying into it. Big Red knows how I feel about the Denver Broncos. Big, he still knows. If they're still riding with Drew Lock, I know people for some reason are high on him. Like, it's not happening.
It seems like,
I mean, hasn't it been 3 years now? It's been 3 years now.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2019. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't see it either, Griff.
It seems like the books are pricing in that they're going to do something, whether it's Rodgers or someone else. Like, they're kind of preemptively raising their odds because they know that once they get one of those guys, if their odds are so terrible, everyone's still going to bet them. And my question to Markeem, just hear me out. Your team, if they get one of those quarterbacks, if they get Russ or Rodgers or any of those guys, I'm sure their price is like plus 3,000 or whatever. Like, would you consider that? Because that offensive line was awesome last year. It made everyone overrate how good Jalen Hurts was.
Yeah. And honestly, the team itself was surprisingly better than I thought. I'll be honest. We weren't embarrassing defensively. Like you said, the offensive line was awesome. I mean, not to win a Super Bowl, but – you know, playoffs, win that division. Yeah, maybe we get one of those dudes.
Yeah,
we get Russ. I might be like, if he's healthy, yeah, it might happen. Super Bowl might happen. It might.
Also, if you get rid of Jalen Reagor and Arthego Whiteside, but that's another topic for another day.
Man, that dude stinks. That dude Reagor fucking stinks, man.
Was he this bad at TCU? Like, he was highly
No. No, I don't know what it is, man. Like, he used to be explosive. That's gone. He never had the best hands. I don't know what's going on with that dude, man. I don't know.
Well, you
maybe his life is different. I don't know.
And you have no more patience for it. Like, not another
year. I'm done with this shit. Done with it. He stinks. It's over.
One point I want to talk about in particular going into this offseason is Kyler Murray. I don't know if you guys have seen this a lot, but he obviously has this weird beef with the Cardinals where the Cardinals literally deleted all their Instagram photos but two, and they left it both of him. He deleted all his Instagram posts but two, and he unfollowed the Cardinals, which I love it when this happens because, like, it happened with Antetokounmpo before he signed his deal. I think this is just stuff your agent's telling you to do. Hey, if you unfollow them, it's going to cost such a big deal. Like, imagine if 15 years ago you had heard a player say, hey, yeah, so delete this person off this social media platform because no matter what you do in real life, it's this. Like, it's such communication back and forth where I think this year, I know last year I always said this, Cliff Kingsbury was my hot seat coach, but I think this year more than anything, look, if you give Kyler the bag, which he does deserve it. I don't know if he deserves top three quarterback money, but definitely deserves north of 30, 35 mil, I'd say somewhere in that range. But I think you have to give Cliff Kingsbury an ultimatum saying, look, you got to get to the playoffs and make a run. Otherwise we got to switch it up because this is Cliff's fourth year now in the organization, and he's been given all his tools. But also, if you look at their free agent class, him and Steve Keim, they can lose a lot. Like, Chandler Jones can just walk.
Yeah, and then you lose it for nothing.
Yeah.
Hot seat, though. I mean, they made the who do you replace him with? I know it seems like I'm always defending Cliff Kingsbury, but yeah, like, who do you replace him with? I don't know about hot seat, man.
It's very interesting because the team has improved their win record all 3 years that he's been there, but
they still feel disappointing.
Yeah, because
it feels disappointing.
They keep because they seem to get worse as the year goes along. That's why, like. And so it's such a weird situation. Like, it's an improvement each year. A lot of teams would sign up for that. But, yeah, it feels like they didn't really hit their potential. So it's a very
strange. I've always felt like he is a Hall of Fame assistant coach in the NFL. Like, he can be like, I hate to say it because if Chase ever sees this, he'll kill me. But he could be like what Mark Jackson was to the Warriors. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where get us on the right track, but we need someone else to really unlock this. You know what I mean? Because we have something. But, yeah, well, I felt like that when he was at Texas Tech. I always felt that way about him. Like, get us to here, and then someone else can unlock it. Now, Tech has never found anyone to unlock it. But, you know, but, yeah, same deal.
Kyler's a weird guy. Like, there were stories about this in Oklahoma, I remember, and even in the pre-draft process, like, he and his dad are, like, very protective of his career, and they can – I don't know. Like the there was apparent, like, remember before the draft, before he like officially committed to football, he was being very coy about what sport he was going to play. He went on the Dan Patrick show and he could barely answer a question when Dan Patrick was asking very reasonable things. Like, would you consider any more baseball or anything like that? He was being very coy and very awkward about it. So I could see how he can kind of is sometimes a tough guy to deal with. He is talented, you know, like they're better with him than without him. But this unfollowing on social media thing, it is a weird trend. Allen Robinson did this last year. Not coincidentally, he was entering a contract. He was entering free agency, and the Bears ended up just franchise tagging him. But it's become more common every year where you do it at that around that time of the year. Now, the Cardinals, in response, leaking to Chris Mortensen that he's immature and a finger pointer, that is
That shit was wild.
That's not normal. Other teams don't do that. Like,
and the whole texting his girlfriend at halftime stuff?
It's strange. Like,
do you blame him? Have you seen that woman? Come on now. Do you blame him? I'm just saying.
I don't blame him. You usually leak that stuff after you break up and he goes to another team. Yeah. And to defend yourself to the media, you throw him under the bus. It's so weird to do that and then give him like $100 million contract. It's so strange.
Yeah. I always say the Cliff Kingsbury thing.
That's that quarterback panic that everyone has, though. Yeah. I mean, we don't really like him, but goddamn it, we can't do much better. So,
yeah, it's like when you see someone in an unhappy marriage where it's just like, goddamn it, I hate you, but I don't want to leave you, kind of thing. You know, that's what it feels like.
I need your half of the rent. Same shit.
Exactly. The one thing I want to say is, though, I know I said Cliff Kingsbury hot seat. I only say that just because, like, how Big Rat pointed out, how it's like at this point, good is not good enough. They want great. But I think more than anything, Steve Keim should be on the hot seat. He's been the GM since 2013. If you look at his draft history, he's only hit on Kyler Murray and Isaiah Simmons. Besides that, I'm gonna pull it up for you guys because I've done this multiple times on the podcast. But
yeah, his first round pick history. He busted on Robert Pamdichi. He busted on a lot of guys there in the interim.
But I mean, we all thought Robert Pamdichi was going to be great, though. We all thought that.
Yeah,
I don't blame him for that.
I thought he was going to be great, like in 2013 when he was coming out of high school, number one recruit in the country. Yeah, it's hard to give him too much flack for it. But the problem is, though, as we see with the Raiders, as you see with a lot of teams, if you fire Keim, the new general manager is going to want his own guy. Like, and apparently the Giants really did want to give Joe Judge another chance. It's just that they absolutely had to, like, Gettleman retired, quote unquote. Everyone knew it. And the Giants told reporters they didn't want to make the new GM stick with Judge for a year and then fire him after a year and waste everyone's time. So Keim and Kingsbury, for better or for worse, are kind of tied together right now.
That makes complete sense. Complete sense. But his his draft history goes as follows. So in 2013, it was Jonathan Cooper with pick number 7. Deion Buchanan with pick number 27 of 2014. DJ Humphreys, who I think not a bad pick, but he wasn't good as a rookie. He was better on his second contract. Robert and Kim DJ. Hassan Reddick, which, look, he was a great player for the one season, but now he's on Carolina. Josh Rosen in 2018.
I was wrong about that one, too. I put that egg on my face.
Dude, the amount of people – do you know there are Bills fans out there that wanted Josh Rosen over Josh Allen 2018?
I remember I said it, kid. He should have been the first QB taken. Yep. I said that out of my mouth. Like, to be fair, though, every time I watched Josh Allen, he looked bad. So, like, I didn't – you know what I mean? He played for Wyoming. Like, what do you expect? Like, you know what I mean? I watched them when they played good teams, and he would struggle. So I'm like, this dude's not any good. And then I see Josh Rosen do things that nobody else was doing. I'm like, yeah, pick this dude.
Yeah, Allen.
This is why I'm not a GM.
Hey, to be fair, like what Allen did is like historically uncommon. This is going to be the problem for decades. Everyone's going to find some big-armed mobile quarterback who has horrible college tape and then just use the Josh Allen argument to draft them, and they might not turn into anything. It's going to happen so often over the next 20 years.
Wholeheartedly agree with that. I 100% agree with that. Because even, too, if you look at that, the only pick I would honestly swap for that 2018 class is if I were the Giants, you do not take Saquon Barkley. You take Quentin Nelson at 2.
Yeah.
fixes two problems for them. One, their offensive line sucks. And two, you don't draft Saquon that high, who now hasn't been that good, but we'll see if he can bounce back in 2022 because, man, the Giants are just a mess right now.
He's one of the highest paid running backs in the league just because of that draft pick. Like, he's like the fifth highest paid running back just on his rookie contract. It's crazy.
Which is just, it's utterly insane to think about it. But then I know right away that's why there's the whole narrative coming in about why you do not pay, why you don't pay picks like that. I was going to do one thing, but obviously I know Big Rat, you're on a timestamp, so you see the thumbnail, you see the banner.
I always love spending time with my YouTube take buddy, but I do have to get back to work. Just on McDaniel, you know, there's only so much we can know, obviously, so I will keep reservations in check. But I do like the style of the hire because this – I understand the league's a copycat league, and, like, for years everyone was just copying, you know, get the Belichick assistance to try to repeat the Patriots' success, which is what everyone was doing for, like, 20 years, and it almost never works. I do think copying the Shanahan system, I don't think it's a fluke that it has worked so well with the Rams, with the Bengals, with the 49ers.
We'll see with the Jets.
With Gary Kubiak when he was around, at least for some of those teams. I know they didn't go all the way in Houston, but they still had some good seasons. The Dolphins, here's why I like that system. They heavily emphasize this outside zone run blocking scheme. And I think that's conducive to success in the NFL for two reasons. One, you could succeed in that system without spending a lot of money on running backs. As long as you have running backs that are fast, running backs that make quick decisions, then they can be very successful in that outside zone scheme. We've seen it all across the league. We've seen San Francisco. What's the stat? They have a different leading rusher every year for the last 5 years. So that's conducive to NFL success because you'll never be giving big money to running backs in the first place. But still having a good run game. The Dolphins got the first part, but not the second. They wanted to not invest in running backs, but their running game is horrible, and their running game prevents them from winning football games. It is. Everyone complains about the Dolphins' offensive line, and the offensive line is terrible, but no one else talks about that their running game was historically terrible for most of the last 3 years, and that's a big part of the reason their offense has been so bad. So if nothing else, this system has proven to give you run game success almost everywhere it's been implemented. So I am excited for that because that's what this team has been missing. And our offensive line is still going to be horrible. They're going to spend money in free agency. But at the very least, when they're run blocking a lot, like a lot of the Dolphins offensive line has a lot of big guys. Like you would at least think that they can get some confidence being maulers for a higher percentage of the game rather than just getting their asses beat in pass protection every other rep. So I think the style of the – yes, we don't know anything. He could be terrible. He could be great. We have no clue. I think the style of the hire is conducive to the things the Dolphins have specifically been missing on offense, and that's why I kind of like it. Now, what happens with Tua, what happens with Waddle, we'll see. I think it should be good for Tua. Everyone, obviously, Tua does stylistically compare to Jimmy G. I think he could be better than that, but nonetheless – that does also kind of fit this style. The RPO game will work a lot better when the run threat is – as legitimate as it can be in a Shanahan style scheme. So those are my thoughts on it. I don't know if you guys have any.
Yeah, the idea is sound. I get what you're saying. You're excited about the logic. We'll just see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a flaming disaster. Like, I mean, no coach in Miami. Every coach in Miami eventually gets fired. Like, it's I get it, but yeah, it's at least they didn't hire Bill O'Brien. They didn't hire some defensive Patriots guy again. They actually went a good route here, so we'll see how it goes.
That's a really good way to put it. You don't know what to expect, but the hype and potential of what could be gets you excited. That's what you truly want as a football fan.
I like it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and also too, before you go, there is one new coach that I do have that replaces my Vic Fangio as coach who should have been fired before he was probably let go, and that is Matt Rhule from the Carolina Panthers. Just saying that right now.
Yeah, Markeem Griffin and I at the start of last season, like he and Phil had the Raiders as their surprise playoff team. I had the Broncos, and Griff said he thought Fangio should be fired instead of them being a surprise playoff team. And sure enough, they were the worst team in the division. And the Raiders made the playoffs.
My two best takes from the preseason was probably that one and then the Seahawks not making the playoffs.
Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah, I just
wait. You predicted that?
Me? Yeah, my two teams that from 2020 that would not make the playoffs in 21 were the Steelers and the Seahawks. I thought the Steelers were going to take a back seat and just not be good. They still found ways to win. And then Seattle, I just knew, look, it's not work. I just knew, like, they need to change. Seattle's got a lot of stuff to go through. Plus,
I didn't think they'd be as bad as they were coming in. You clairvoyant. You're clairvoyant.
I didn't know that. I know Danny wanted them to miss for obvious reasons, and look, he has two top 10 picks out of it now. Yeah. But, man, that team, Seattle is a team now, I think they just need to change it up there. I think they're just trying to recreate the Legion of Boom because, look, ever since they lost that Super Bowl, they've not been the same team.
No, it was different.
Well, look, we'll see what happens with Russ. I think I'll say before I do actually get that out. But the Russ thing, I'm sure, I don't think they want Russ to leave, but if Russ like finally says enough is enough, and instead of this passive aggressive shit he's been doing for like 2 years, and they showed him sitting next to Roger Goodell again during the Super Bowl for the second
two Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah. Like if Russ actually comes out and finally like puts it all out there, I don't want to be here anymore. I think, you know, it might force them to change strategy. We'll see. Cause obviously they don't have a Trey Lance like San Francisco does. So what they're not just going to like what they do is going to be really interesting to watch. So
exactly. I think they're in that position where they can like, you know, trade with a fringe. They can trade with like a fringe playoff team and go from there if they wanted to, you know, kind of take their two picks for next year. Say like, I don't know what team I've said all along, Mark, you want to get your opinion on this, but maybe the Saints.
I mean, I know that's what people have been saying for a while. The Saints.
That's just the team I like. I know Sean Hayes retired, but
to get Wilson though, what would you give up?
I would say two ones, maybe a two and a three, and maybe a player or two.
I'm saying what players though?
Oh fuck!
Because if you're Seattle, I'm not trading him for just picks. I'm not doing that. You gotta give me something interesting. Michael Thomas. Then what's the point in trading for Russ, though, if you're going
to
do that?
That's the thing. I'm trying to think of it. It's like, who else could you give up? Who could you give up? It'd probably have to be like maybe a Ryan Ramczyk or Teron Armstead, and then maybe someone else, because they're going to lose. They may lose Dwayne Brown in free agency. Seattle's a very interesting team to follow this year, because I think next year they can either maybe, you know what, fuck around and find their way in the playoffs again next year, or they can be in the same spot as this year.
Like for me, it's hard to trade for him because what do you – like if I'm Seattle, I'm not taking crumbs for like one of the five best quarterbacks. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you got to give me something. And I don't know who has a package, you know, worth – I don't know.
There is one team, but they're really bad. That's the New York Giants, because the Giants have the – remember, they have the Bears pick and they have their own pick. They have two top 10 picks.
And they got enough young players to do something like that.
And then maybe if anything, you have to give up a defender. But if I'm
Russ, man, do you want to go there? Like, do you want to? This whole thing is weird. I mean, I think we have the package. We got the package. We can do it.
I think the Eagles. Yeah, the Eagles can do it.
Yeah, we can do it.
That's gonna be the most interesting thing, because remember, it was this day last year. This wasn't just like a rumor, like the whole what we were talking about earlier about the Chris Mortensen stuff with Kyler Murray. Russ went on Dan Patrick and basically came out and said, yeah, I'd like it in Seattle, but if I were to be traded, I'd want to go to the five following teams. I think it was like Dallas, Vegas, which I think Vegas could still have a package too, because this is the year for them. They have to shit or get off the pot with Derek Carr. It was like Seattle, Vegas, Chicago, which obviously wouldn't happen now. And I think there was a couple other teams in there. But you're right. When you think about it, it's who really has a package where you can just push all your chips to the table to trade for this one player?
You have to feel like you're simply a quarterback away. You know what I mean? Because I don't think Russ wants to go anywhere where they're rebuilding. Dude is, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not getting any younger. He's more beat up. Who knows how much time he has left? Because he's not going to go anywhere that, you know what I'm saying, he don't want to. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. That's why, like, there's a few teams out there. Like, I just think the Giants have the package, but they don't have the situation. I feel like it's a lot of these teams have it. Like, Vegas – they have the situation, but they don't have the package. Kind of the same thing with the Saints, you know, where it's like the Saints, it's a team you can go to. I think if he goes to the Saints, boom, the Saints are the best division, which I think now is the worst division in football, which I want to say this right now. I hate hearing the Tom Brady could return talk. He's retired. Let the man enjoy his own retirement.
Okay. Listen. Listen. I agree with you. Yep. I don't think he's coming back. I don't. But, you know, he's been doing it for so long. Repetition. Yeah. Force of habit. Just as a human being. You know what I mean? He could just wake up one day and was like, yeah, I can do it again. Who knows? Like, who knows? That's why I wouldn't shout. It's too early for me to be like, he's not coming back. I don't think he is, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like when Brett Favre was mulling over it in Green Bay, I knew this was not the end. I was like, yeah, he'll be back with somebody. With Brady, I think this is the end. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I don't know either. I just want to say, like, let him enjoy it if he want. I think it's up to him. But the whole, like, oh, he could not play in 22 and then come back and play in 23. I'm like, no, that's not happening, because the amount of in shape you have to be is very different for, say, the NBA, Major League Baseball, compared to the NFL, what game shape is. And I think him that
– I also think he's too old to do something like that. It's just too old.
If this were 5 years ago, I'd say he probably would. Yeah. But – he's going to be 45 in August. I just can't see it.
That's too much to ask a man in his mid-40s who goes from doing what he wants, hanging out with his beautiful fucking wife and, you know, just all his millions, to be like, you know what, I'm going to try and play football after taking a whole year off. I don't think that's happening.
Exactly. Plus, too, I don't think he wanted to have a farewell tour, and he also – he wanted to go out on his own terms. Like, I know everyone's saying, oh, he's got so much left in him, but what if he still played this year and you already saw the signs of it? I think that would hurt him more than anything.
To me, I know I wasn't here for the Brady Show, but to me, that's what I think makes his career, like, super special. Like, I know everybody I talk about this all the time, but I don't really care about how many rings he has. It doesn't matter to me. What makes his career special to me is that his career went through three phases.
Yep.
He was just a guy who was a game manager. You know what I mean? Did he get a little too much credit sometimes at that point in his career? Absolutely. But, like, he was a game manager. Then he legit became one of the best quarterbacks in the league, at times the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then the physical aspect of his whole game disappeared, but the production didn't dip. You know what I mean? To me, that's what makes him special. Because there aren't many players in all the team sports that were like that. Some guys, the physical aspect goes and they're not the same. Michael Jordan, hell, look at the Wizards run. Yeah, I mean, he went from greatest of all time to pretty good starter. Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady last year was still one of the 5 to 10 best QBs in the league. You could
have won MVP.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you could argue that. Year before that, easily one of the 5, you know, production wise. Yeah, I mean, and for him to just physically not, because I don't care what anyone says, he didn't have it. I know everyone talks about his dink and dunk style, how he was throwing short passes, but it was unstoppable. It was unstoppable. We've seen guys turn into that, and their production just plummets. Yeah. Didn't happen to Brady. Didn't happen. To me, that is special.
Look at 2015 Peyton Manning. Like, remember how
– like, he became that guy. He became what Brady was, but it was like a shell. Like, it wasn't the same. The production wasn't the same.
2020, like, Drew Brees. 2021, Ben Roethlisberger.
Cook, man. Completely cook. Hell, I grew up when Dan Marino retired, and I saw legit how it happened that quickly. He went from being physically incredible to who is this man? You know what I mean? And that never happened with Tom Brady. Like, he became physically incredible to, I don't know if he still has it physically, but it didn't matter. You know what I mean? He still got it done. It still happened. He still was able to be productive.
100%.
I mean, it's insane, man. Like, to me, that's his greatest argument for the goal. Because, like I was saying earlier, all of the chance that goes into winning championships, and this has to go right. This has to go right. You have to be in different situations. Yeah, I mean, even there were times where he would win ugly games where he didn't play well, but he still win. Yeah, I mean, because there's a lot of things that go into it. The individual Tom Brady being just pretty much an elite quarterback for at least 14 years of his career. Incredible. Incredible, man.
100%. Look, because there's so many Patriots games that I could count where, look, the Patriots should not have won those games. Like, prime examples, the 2013 game, Sunday Night Football against the Broncos. They were down 24-0 at the half. Won that game in OT. 2 weeks later, they played the Cleveland Browns. We're down by 13 with like 2 minutes to go when they somehow won that game. There's like, those are just two that come to my mind immediately. Another one, 2014 playoffs against Baltimore Ravens. Had to fight two separate 14-point leads. That game led to me having heart problems, but you know what? That's what Tom did. It was 14-0, 14-14, 28-14, 28-28, and the Patriots won 35-31. Even the same thing too, the two Super Bowl comebacks, the 10 points down to Seattle, infamous 28-3. Even the Jacksonville game in the AFC Championship game, 2018. Remember that? I know there's obviously the Miles Jack fumble. Was he down call? But the Patriots were down 20-10 late in that game.
Yeah.
There's just so many of those that make it special.
He is the master of winning ugly games. I'll always respect Tom Brady, man. Even if he's not necessarily my GOAT, I'll always respect how he was able to do that. Because I don't think we'll ever see that again.
I don't think so either. But this is a way for the football talk for a second, Markeem, because obviously, you know, sometimes you got to pay in life. You know what? You have to pay the bills. And you know what? Here on YWC Football Talk, I got the chance to do that now. Why, you might ask? BetStamp. BetStamp is an app that I have partnered with. And it is I know. Look at me doing ad reads on the podcast. But BetStamp is a mobile app that's like a social media sports betting app. They're available on all different kinds of links. But what BetStamp does, so this is why I'm here to talk about BetStamp. Basically, you download the app, and it gives you, no matter the sport, it gives you all the odds from all the various sports books that are legal, whether in your province or state. Yes, I cater to both Canadian and United States listeners and viewers. But what it will do is give you the best odds for each game. So basically, say if you want to bet on tonight's game between the 76ers and the Celtics. You can go on there. You can see, hey, which sportsbooks give me the best odds so I can get the most money out of everything. And also, too, what they will do as well is show you the percentages of where the money is going. So say, for example, if 38% is on one team and 62% is on the other team. And then what you can do as well is you can follow various verified BetStamp bettors. You can follow your friends. You can follow whoever you want. Other famous celebrities are on there, like Big Cat and PFT from Barstool, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, Liv Moods of FanDuel Sportsbook and BR Betting, and also Volume Sports. So you can go on there and just look at everyone to see truly where is everyone capturing. And you know what? Your boy Griff is on there too. And today, an exclusive offer for you. If you download BetStamp, use the promo code GRIFFB. That is right. That is GriffB. Use that promo code to download BetStamp. And you know what? You're helping your pal out. So for that, folks, go to the App Store, available on iOS and Google Play. That is BetStamp, promo code GriffB. Link is in the bio for all the descriptions. And happy betting, because you know why? Watching sports is fun, but watching sports while winning some money is even more fun. Thanks for bearing with that, Mark.
Beautiful. That was beautiful, man.
I love it.
He's so professional, man. This is amazing. That's beautiful.
That's why I'm on StreamYard now, too, so I can like have all the fun, fancy stuff. Like you see right behind me, there's the embellished YWC Football Talk logo. There's the one in the corner. And then I can do stuff like this, like new banners and stuff. I want to ask you this right now, because this is our next talking point. And also, too, folks, before we get into our thoughts on the offseason, I have an article that I had written a few weeks ago about a prospect I'm very, very high on in this NFL draft that will be dropping tonight, as well as this podcast episode on Tuesday, February the 15th.
You got to tell me, Hugh, when the stream's over. Yeah. You got to tell me.
Yeah, I'll tell you off air, but the article's already written. I just got to hit publish. What are your thoughts on going into this offseason? Because like I told Big Rat this before you joined us. For as much as the season is great, I feel like for us, we'll call ourselves football junkies, football guys, because we love the sport. We love to talk about it. That's why, hell, I can call on you in the middle of May and say, hey, come talk football. And you'll say, yeah, that's why we're doing it 2 days after the Super Bowl, when a lot of people now see the Super Bowl as, oh, yeah, the Super Bowl. But we look at stuff like the combine, free agency, the draft, and all that fun stuff. But are there any teams or players in particular that you're watching for this offseason to see what happens?
I think the story of this offseason is Aaron Rodgers, man. Yeah. This whole offseason, this feels like, honestly, the way this – because, like, I think it's over. It's over. Has to be, right? Like, it's got to be it, right?
It feels like what Tom Brady went through 2 years ago, you know, where it's like, you don't know, but the more you think about it, you're like, you know what? It's done.
It's got to be. So, like, that – to me, because to me, that changes the NFL. Say whatever you want about Aaron Rodgers, whatever – you feel about him being vaccinated or not, or you
immunized.
Know, immunized. Excuse me, or you know, just him as like a player and how you feel about him in certain situations. That's still Aaron Rodgers, man. He still instantly changes the fortune anywhere he goes. If he's even 70% of himself, everything changes. So to me, that's the whole story of this offseason. Another thing is, will the Cowboys swing and try to improve? Because they are so close to being the complete package. But it's just little things here and there, little issues late in games. What happens with McCarthy? I know it's only been what? It's been 2 years now, right? Yeah, I mean, it's been two, right?
Yeah, 2 years, 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what happens with that? Like, that because, you know, Jerry Jones, this is going to sound pretty cynical, but it's true. He's old, man. He's old. How much time does this man have left? You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, that's I feel like it's pretty much the league itself can fundamentally change this offseason, because there's so many teams with big dangling carrots, you know what I mean, just hanging out in front of them. Like, the Texans are awful, you know what I mean? And this whole season has been, well, the whole past two seasons has been what the hell, because of the obvious elephant in the room, you know what I mean? Like, what happens with them? How do the Steelers move on from Ben Roethlisberger? How does that happen?
Yeah, you know
I mean, do my Eagles really shake anything up, or are they content with just feeling like they had a season that was above what they thought? You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of fans in Philly that I've talked to, or Philly fans in general, maybe not in Philly, but a lot of motherfuckers I talked to, like my brother-in-law, his brother's a big Eagles fan. He's content with what's going on. And, like, I'm like, all right, because we thought we were going to be so bad, and it turned out we wasn't. You know what I mean? The cover was not there, but I feel like you build on this. You don't just bring it back and just try it again. You build on what happened. You know what I mean? Can the Rams, who mortgaged their entire future to win this championship, bring as many pieces as they brought in back? You know what I mean? Like, because a lot of those contracts are, you know what I'm saying, are done. You know what I mean? Aaron Donald teased retirement. Like, you know what I mean? It's so much, man. It's so much. This is one of the most interesting off seasons in any sport since probably, like, LeBron's decision year. You know what I mean? Like, this, I don't know what the whole the fabric of the NFL could literally change in the next few months. Everything with all the big, like, players, everything could change.
Exactly. My one big thing about Aaron Rodgers is, and this might sound kind of biased just because it's my conference, but if you're Aaron Rodgers, why would you want to come to the AFC? Like, all the quarterback competition that's over there is crazy right now. Like, when you think about it, because you're going to have a healthy Lamar, you're going to have Joe Burrow, you have Josh Allen. We'll see if I'm more interested to see with the AFC, too, how do second-year Mac Jones and Zach Wilson look? That's my big thing too, because the Jets are a team that are.
That's true, and Trevor as well. How does that look?
Carson Wentz too. I don't know if you saw that on Sunday, but it's looking like he's going to be out in Indy. I remember last year.
Yeah, I saw it.
You, Phil, and I were on. You're talking about that. That's going to be another big topic this offseason, is what the Colts can do. And even there's like a couple teams out there where I'm like, okay, this year it's either you go for it, or if it fails and you miss the playoffs, you got to blow it up. And that's Cleveland, I don't know about, but Minnesota, that's one team this year. I think if Minnesota does not make the playoffs this year, I'm sorry, you got to burn it to the ground for the Vikings.
I mean, I think they've kind of already started blowing it up, right? So I think they kind of see it the same way. You know what I mean? So I think, this won't be hell by the end of this offseason. That whole team might look different too.
My other thing too with them, that conference is the NFC South now, I think, takes the crown as worst division in football for right now, considering what the quarterbacks are.
All right, let's see.
Matt Ryan, Sam Darnold.
Saints are going to be bad. Yeah, probably.
I feel like with the Saints, I feel like they can either be bad, or they're going to fuck around and find a way just to, like, you know, sneak in and be like the seventh or eighth seed in the NFC.
Yeah, that division gonna be bad though. But I feel like the Buccaneers have a solid team though.
They do. If they don't get the right quarterback, though, like, look at what they were with Jameis Winston when they were 7-9. Like, if, like, I know people talk about, like, oh, send Jimmy G there. And I'm like, and other people are like, Bruce Arians and Jimmy G would be the wackiest combination in the NFL. I don't know why you'd want that.
And I don't think that's a good fit because I don't think Jimmy G's been that great. That's almost like, that's like a less turnover Jameis Winston type problem where people just say, oh, man, if this quarterback was better, you know.
Exactly. There's just so many question marks going into this offseason. Like, I'm excited to see, too. I know the quarterback situation is not ideal, but do the Detroit Lions make any progress in 2022? Because we know they're not good, but they bought into what Dan Campbell is selling.
And, hell, I mean, I know, we talk about the Rams getting Stafford, but, hell, they took a risk, too, getting rid of Stafford. You know what I mean? They was like, hey, let's try again. Let's try to blow this thing up. I mean, it's the Lions. They're probably going to be bad, but, you know, there's two sides to the trade. You know what I mean? So,
Justin Fields in year two as well. I'm excited to see how that turns out.
Trey Lance in San Francisco.
That one, I got to wait and see, though, because, like, we know what the other four are capable of. We know what Mac's capable of. We know what Zach Wilson's capable of. We know what Trevor – I'm gonna give Trevor as an outlier because – I feel like there was just so much crap going on behind the scenes we don't know exactly what to expect out of Trevor. Look, he's going into his now technically third head coach in his second season. So we'll see.
Like, will the Ravens just decide to run this thing back and let's just try it again healthy? You know what I mean? Because even with them fighting injury, they still almost made the playoffs.
That's
so, you know, they just think, hey, let's try this again.
I'm going to ask people this in, like, late August, but if you ask me right now, a team who missed the playoffs in 2021, they'll be in there in 2022, I put my money on the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell, they fought all year, and they fought major injuries all season.
And even during that win streak, too, there was only the one – the losing streak towards the end of the season. There was only that one Bengal game where, like, you look at that – there's the Steeler and the Packer game. They should have won, but Harbaugh got really aggressive and decided to go for it on two.
Yeah.
And then the Rams game, they almost won – the Steelers game. There was even the other Browns game where they lost by 2 points, and even still, there was that really wonky Sunday nighter. I think they also too did some stuff like they beat the Chiefs in week two. I think if they had beaten the Dolphins that Thursday night game, it's a different conversation. But the Ravens are a team that, you know what, they can be back really good. The Colts, because I know we're talking about Carson Wentz stuff.
Do the Bengals decide just let's try this again? Like Kid was saying, the offensive line, they're young. Do they just try to just keep them guys playing together? Hope they get better. Let's not spend a lot of money. Who knows? Who knows what they do too? Hell, they made the Super Bowl.
I know. I think you have to add something on, though. You can't just run it back with the same offensive line. I also do have a take about the Dallas Cowboys. I think there's one player, a current star in there right now, that will not be on there next year. And that is Amari Cooper.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think he's going to be a cap casualty cut because he's like $20 million.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. He did get that contract before he actually deserved said contract. So yeah.
Oh, Miguel saw this coming. You knew with him he was the kind of player where he would either get a pass or he's just like not reliable when you needed him most this year. And also too, you have Michael Gallup, and then you also have CeeDee Lamb. It wouldn't shock me if they tried the. They dangle, you know, you said earlier, there's so many just dangling carrots. Hell, it wouldn't shock me to see if they took offers on Ezekiel Elliott.
Man, that'd be crazy.
You could see him and McCaffrey on the move this year.
I mean, I feel like Carolina should try and move McCaffrey. Just to see what you can get, because he's hurt all the time anyway. Just see what you can get from him. Hey, even if he's playing, you're not good enough to win anything. So just see.
Ever since Cam Newton hurt himself in that Thursday nighter where they got their asses kicked by the Steelers, they've been just an awful, awful football team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember last year I bought into them as, hey, they could be a wild card team, and then they were 3-0, and I was like, look at me being right, and then they went 2-12 down the stretch and failed me.
Yeah, man, this offseason, like seriously can change the entire league. I think not enough people are talking about that, because like they're literally every team, with the exception, even the Rams, even the Super Bowl champions, have major question marks. Every team.
The amount of players that aren't going to be brought back, like we know Whitworth's going to retire. If they lose Aaron Donald, it's huge. And there's other players too, like what will OBJ do? What will Von Miller do?
Yeah,
like
Von Miller. This was the last year of Von Miller, right? That was it, yeah. Right?
Yep, that was. That's why Denver. That's why I think more than Denver's actual on-field play, which was decent. I think that's why Denver got rid of him. You know, the crazy thing about this too is this: the landscape's going to change within a month. Like literally a month tomorrow, the new league year starts March 16th.
Yep.
That's the thing about the NFL.
And shit starts to happen.
Yeah. Because, like, think about it. For the next week or two, it's like, yeah, you'll probably see some deals here or there, like certain players getting cut. But then it's all combine prep because the combine's in 2 weeks. And then you're going to have pro days. And then you have free agency. You're going to have trades. And then the draft. But I'm going to say this about the draft this year. I don't think it's as bad as people are saying. I know it's not, like, you know, an attractive quarterback class by any means. But you still have a hell of a lot of good talent that's going to be coming out of college.
Yeah, I'm not excited about none of those QBs.
I'm excited about the big receiver, boys up front.
Yeah. The offensive line is really good coming in. The receivers are fine. The running back class is weak as hell. The linebackers aren't even worth talking about.
D linemen are pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
You got some good secondary pieces. This year's draft, I've been saying this like nobody
franchise changing in the secondary though. I don't think.
No, a bunch of good players coming to make an impact.
Yeah. Nobody that's like, there's no Jalen Ramsey's in this draft. Let's put like that. None of those.
No, Sauce Gardner's good, but he's not like probably not gonna be like all pro good. We'll see.
This is kind of a weak draft, Grim. Now I'm thinking, it's kind of weak. I'm just thinking of the names in my head. It's kind of weak, man.
It's not 2013, but I would compare this draft to like 2016, you know, where it's like quarterback class wasn't good, where it was like the top guys were Goff and Wentz, and then you had, I think it was Elliott, then Bosa. Oh. It's going to be like 2016. And then I think you're going to find a diamond in the rough somewhere in this quarterback class where like a Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott was in that class in the fourth round. So I feel like someone's going to emerge and be a star, but at the same time too, it's a big wait and see.
Yeah, man. It's because there's nobody that just like jumps off the page in any position. Like there's nobody like that in this whole draft.
Yeah. More than nobody anything, maybe there's a couple of defensive linemen and there's a couple of offensive linemen who I think can come in and make impacts. But besides that, there's no one right now where you look at it and you go, you know what? You're going to be the franchise.
Yeah.
And then another thing I want to ask you about is, I know I brought up Cliff Kingsbury's name earlier and I'm going to leave him out of this, but are there a couple of coaches you think that are you can already see being on the hot seat going into this season?
McCarthy, I bought him up too.
Yep.
As crazy as it sounds, but like I said, Jerry Jones. Who is in the hot seat?
I have two for you right now.
Okay, give them to me.
Kevin Stefanski, Cleveland.
Okay. He was the coach. He was the coach during their most successful season in so long, though. That's why I think he might be fine.
I think he'd be fine, but like I think at the same time too, it's all results based. You know where it's like, oh hey, yeah, you did this. That's great. We want this. Like kind of like why I said earlier about Cliff Kingsbury. The other one is I think Frank Wright in Indianapolis potentially.
I don't think they're gonna fire Wright.
I don't think so. I think it's just one of the it's one of those things like I can see it, but I can't see it just because look, they haven't had much playoff success in the post Andrew Luck era. They've only had the one appearance, I think. And then if quarterback play fails them again, and like look, they shit the bed their last two games. I'm trying to remember if they lost to the Raiders, but them losing to Jacksonville was
I'm not gonna lie, that was a horrible loss. He might be on the hot seat just because of that loss. That was such a bad loss.
Exactly. Other ones I have is Matt Rhule in Carolina for obvious reasons.
Man, we talked about that.
He just makes dumb decisions, and he's making $7 million right out of college. Like, no. One I want to float to you is Ron Rivera.
What, man? I guess, because Snyder fires people, so yeah, I guess so.
And then Seattle. We were talking about this earlier, but I think Pete Carroll? I don't know if that's a firing one, but you know, like how Dave Gettleman, it was like the mutual parting of ways, where it's like the polite way of saying like he's leaving on his own good terms.
Yeah, I can't imagine they'll fire Pete Carroll. I can't imagine.
No, they won't fire him, but like it'll be a mutual parting of way.
Yeah. Pete Carroll out in Seattle. I can see that. I can definitely see that. He's out.
Because when I look at all the other coaches, like from even last year's cycle, like Robert Saleh, I can't see unless the Jets significantly decline. Same thing goes too with what was the team I was thinking of? Detroit. I can't see Dan Campbell getting let go because of that.
Not next year.
Yeah, not maybe if by year three there's no progression, then yes for both of those guys.
I think he's safe.
For as bad as the situation is, I also too think the David Culley hiring and firing was complete bullshit. I think that was just. I don't know what to expect. I think they just hired Lovie Smith because of the backlash of the fact they fired a coach of color. I think that's why they got Lovie Smith, because they want Josh McCown. They want Josh McCown, but you know how bad of a PR look it would look for the Texans if they did hire McCown?
That's true.
But yeah, no one else I can't see. Like, I can't see Brandon Staley, Andy Reid, no. Sean McDermott, no. Mike Tomlin, no. John Harbaugh, no. Zach Taylor, I think, he's bought himself at least a few more years.
Oh, no, he's good. He's good, man. Cincinnati. Come on, man. Marvin Lewis was there for a decade, man. He's good. Trust me.
Marvin Lewis was there for 15 years.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, decade and a half. You're right.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis was there for a decade and a half. Matt LaFleur, no, because he's won 39 games in three seasons.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, there's always going to be – it's always going to be results-based, but, like, right now when I look at it, I'm like, besides, I'd say Stefanski, Rhule, and Kingsbury, I don't think there's a lot of others you can say that are like, you know what, yeah, definitely going to be fired. I think there's always, like, those few shocking firings. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Tom doesn't come back and you do see Bruce Arians retire.
Hell, that could happen before the season starts. Would you be surprised? I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be.
He sees what he has, and he goes, I don't want to do this shit.
Yeah. I think this year, too, for them is going to be a true test for Byron Leftwich, if he can be a head coach in this league or not. Because I know everyone was praising him, but he had a superstar franchise.
Shout out to him for not taking that damn job, man. I wouldn't have took it either. Absolutely. Smartest decision he ever made.
What, not going to Jacksonville?
Absolutely. He didn't want that GM. I don't blame him.
Dude, I don't even know why they decided to keep Trent Baalke. Trent Baalke literally loves to bring in guys who kind of torn their ACLs and give them a second chance.
Yeah.
But there's no one else I can see. Like, I can't see Brandon Staley unless the Chargers decline. But here's the thing. The Chargers are a team I'm watching this offseason for one main reason. And that main reason is just based on the amount they have. They have a lot of cap to spend. They have needs. And Jesus Christ, you're a defensive head coach. You have the 32nd ranked run defense in the NFL. Fix it.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is the fun time of the year. This is, like I said something Big Red earlier, we get to play the hypothetical game. You get to play the what-if game that I hate, you know, where it's like, oh, we can do this, and like, what if this happens? What if that happens? Nick Sirianni, too, that's another coach. He's not on my hot seat, but like, I just can't see it happening because he won there. I just think, though,
I'll let him slide, man. I'll let him slide this year.
Yeah. He'll be that guy, though. If the Eagles don't make the playoffs in 22, 23, his name will get brought up a lot.
Because I know before the season started, I was like, dear God. But, you know, they played better. And I got to give him credit.
Oh, and Mike McCarthy's on that list. But my big thing with Mike McCarthy is if they fire him, What's the size of the Brinks truck that'll be brought to Sean Payton's house?
Nah, yeah, I think he's done. I think he's done.
You know what I think is going to happen with him, actually? I think so you know how Thursday Night Football is now on Amazon?
Yeah.
I think Thursday Night Football on Amazon is going to be Al Michaels and Troy Aikman, and I think Sean Payton's going to jump in the booth and do the big Fox games with Joe Buck.
That'd be crazy.
And I think you're going to get Mike.
Even the commentary teams will change this year. Like, everything about the NFL as we know it is changing, man.
Because I know
this whole season. This whole offseason is going to be nuts.
With NBC, you're going to have Mike. I know Mike Tirico's moving in the booth. I think mainly do Sunday Night Football. But Michelle Tafoya has gone as well. It's Catherine Tappan now who's going to be the sideline reporter for Sunday Night Football. Michelle Tafoya.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, Michelle's stepping away from sports entirely. Monday Night Football, too, could look brand new. Who knows what happens there? Please, for the love of God, I hope it looks brand new. I don't know if you know this. I do not like the three-man team on Monday Night Football. I feel like football announced teams should always be just two guys. Or even if you want to do a guy and a girl, like I know Beth Mowins has done it before, which I'll say this right now, Beth Mowins and Doris Burke, I could not tell the two of them apart when they're announcing games.
I love Doris Burke. Doris Burke is my favorite commentator in anything commentary. Like, anything, I love her, man. It's awesome.
You love her just like Drake loves her. That's funny. And on a non-basketball take, on a non-football take, but that's a basketball take, I agree with you about the Cliff Kingsbury as Mark Jackson comparisons.
Yeah, yeah. We get it started, and then get someone else to unlock it.
Mark Jackson. Riley?
Mark. No. Oh, my God. I knew before the end of this podcast, you were the kid. Was going to say, I don't know, look out for Lincoln Riley. I don't think it's going to happen. You know how much money the SC gave him? You know how much?
Oh, dude, did you know they bought out both his homes in Oklahoma for like $500,000 over asking?
He's not going anywhere, man. I keep seeing his name, though. Like, why are people bringing up his name in the NFL? He's not going anywhere.
Well, I bet the Dallas Cowboys were prepared to throw anything they wanted at him, and then he basically told them no, so that's why. I think it's just too because Lincoln coached him at college. Hell, you're probably going to see Bob Stoops' name in there for fuck's sakes. It's just so
dear God, I hope not.
I hope not, too. That's even the other thing, too, this year. College, I think college is going to get back to normal. I just want to talk about this because obviously you're a big college guy. I'm getting to be a big college guy. I don't have a team, though, which some people told me, like, oh, I should get a team to root for. I just like watching the games.
Man, you're Canada, man. Like, who cares? Yeah. Like, you're from Canada. How could you have a team? You have no connection. You're from Canada.
Exactly.
Like, you got no connection.
Can I give one? I'm going to give one take on college football. I think it's going to be Ohio State and Bama are going to be the top two teams in the country.
It is way too early to tell, Griff. It's way too early to tell.
I know, but man, I love that one receiver on Ohio State. He's back.
Preseason poll, I would be shocked if they were 1-2, though.
I think they're going to overrank Clemson just because I think you still have to give Georgia some love. But I feel like, you know, Georgia this year reminds me a lot of the LA Rams. You know what, where they push all their chips in the basket. They knew, hey, if not
they,
now,
they had to win it this year. They had to win it, yeah.
Yeah. Michigan's the same thing, and I'm going to say something. I think Jim Harbaugh not taking the Vikings job was better than I think was it, him not taking it was the right call compared to him staying at Michigan. I think him staying at Michigan is the right call.
Yeah.
Did your phone go off?
Yep.
Those things I can hear. I can hear it vibrating in my ear. I'm like, what the hell is that? I think him staying at Michigan was the right call.
I agree.
I want to see the ACC be better again, and I want to see the Pac-12 try to be a force, but we know those aren't going to happen.
The problem with the Pac-12 is the problem they've always had. Is that
redheaded stepchild college football?
Yeah, not just that, too. But it's not just that. Like, those teams are always so closely matched. They just end up beating up each other all year, and no team ever rises above. They always, bowl season, they always do really well because those are good teams. but there's no team that's better than everyone else. You know what I mean? So they just end up with 2-3 losses. But then come bowl season, when they beat everybody, you know what I mean? Everyone's like, oh, where did this come from? This is good teams out there.
Exactly.
It's like that. It's been like that since I was a kid. It's always been like that.
Yeah, when it was the Pac-10, probably.
Yeah. It's always been like that.
And then your ACC, we'll see what happens. I want to see what kids' Hurricanes look like, if they look any different than Mario Cristobal, which I'm going to say this right now. The first time he was on this show about 2 years ago, I said to him as a joke, how long until Mario Cristobal is the coach of the Hurricanes? And he kind of laughed at me and said, like, oh, the payout's too much for Oregon. Now here we are 2 years later and Mario Cristobal's coach of the Hurricanes.
That's funny. We stink. There's no need to even talk about the Hokies. We stink.
Just saying, fuck it and throw it in the towel.
Yeah, we stink. We're going to win like 5 games next year. You heard it here first.
You heard it from our team first. Well, anyway, I'm. Do you have anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
No. Just one thing. Support my boy Griff. Listen to the show. He does a great job. Support my boy. That's it.
Road 200 is coming. I have told many people this. I'm going to tell you this. My goal is 200 by kickoff 2022. We're at 153. This is 153 right here.
You do how many? One a week?
I've been doing 2 a week, but I'm here to say, folks, there may be another episode this week. There may not be. I also may take next week off. I don't know yet. It's all going to depend really on what happens. I'm going to go as the NFL.
It's going to be tough to get to 200, man.
You know what I mean, though?
You're going to have to do multiple, like, each week.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm probably going to take a break somewhere in the summertime, probably maybe around that, you know, that, like, weird point between, like, after the draft but before OTAs or minicamp kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, where nothing happens.
Basically, if your name's in the news, it's for the bad reasons.
Yeah. There's nothing going on there.
Yeah, usually right after the schedule comes out and right after the draft comes out is when a lot of football people, that's their kind of their quote-unquote vacations they take.
Yeah, right, you got to work, man. You want to get to 200. It's going to be a grind, Griff.
You know what? I'm up for the grind. We got 47 episodes to go and 7 months to get them in.
Good luck with it. Hey, man, I will say this, man. I admire how hard you work on this thing. Because, like, you know, most people would probably listen to this, you know, our circle. Everybody knows I podcast about pro wrestling, but, like, I haven't recorded anything in so long because I don't know. I just don't. But you, every week.
Yep.
I scroll through Spotify, NFC Championship preview, Super Bowl preview, thoughts about Super Bowl, hot takes for the week. Week 17, but how is he doing this? How does he have the drive to do it every week? I admire that.
That's why I may take a week off sometime before free agency, just to, you know, kind of push back a bit. That's why I might take a week off here or there. If not, you will I'm definitely going to do once a week, though, 1 to 2, maybe even some weeks. Hell, I may do 3 or 4. It just depends on really what guest availability is, what my availability is now, because that's the weird thing with this podcast. I started right before COVID started. So because of COVID, because of stuff being closed, obviously with Canada, there was a lot more restrictions.
You had a lot more time.
I had a lot more time because I didn't have a lot of places to go. But now with more stuff's open, there's more things to do. This is where it's really going to get hard, where I'm going to have to really plan around it. So if anything too, you know what, maybe I might record a few episodes in a day and then bank them and just release them and all at one point. But you know what? I'm up for it. You're going to be hearing a lot of people. Markeem's going to be on here numerous times leading up to the draft.
Absolutely.
Quote me on that. We'll do the mock draft one again, if you remember from last year.
Oh, that was fun. Good feedback for that one. Hey, get Joe back too.
Yeah, I'm going to get Phil back. We'll get Joe back, Danny, Big Rat, all the guests you've seen before, maybe even some new ones too, maybe even some ones who haven't been on in a really long time. I got to work the DMs. I got to do my magic. But anyway, folks, that's going to wrap it up for episode number 153 of YWC Football Talk, as always, presented by SidelineShop.ca and BetStamp. But I'm going to call this episode just an appropriate name. I'm just going to say I love L.A. Why? Because the L.A. Rams won the Super Bowl. Thanks for Big Rats. Thanks to Markeem, Nightmare Ball 1 for coming on again. I'm your host, Griff. Good night, everybody.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent Podcast, NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.